If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, read down through verse number 5. The Bible says in verse number 1, Luke 13, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering and said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I want us to put our thoughts this morning upon verse number 3 and verse number 5. They are identical verses, and they say a message to us that is very, very important in our particular time in which we live. I believe we'll be dealing with this morning that is a very important and one of the most neglected doctrines of the Word of God. It's a doctrine that is not too popular at all because it demands some response from the person that is dealing with their self and with their life. And the Scripture says that it's very, very important. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We know that the Word of God tells us that we are all perishing without hope and without God until He comes to us and comes by our way and makes us to understand and makes us to realize that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And involved in that is the preaching of the Word of God. For the Scripture says without the preaching there's no repentance. And without the preaching of the Word of God there's no understanding. And so involved in this thing of repentance is understanding and having God work in our heart and speak to us concerning our salvation. Over the past years, the doctrine of repentance has become a battlefield. It is a doctrine that many people have rejected. There are those that say it is no longer necessary. There are those that say it's no longer important that a person literally have repentance in their heart. But I believe we need to take the Word of God over what everybody else says. I believe we need to understand what the Bible says about this subject. And this morning, I'm going to try to deal with this subject in a way that not to bring doubt to our heart, but to bring understanding that we have done what the Lord has told us to do. You cannot deny repentance, for it will not go away. You cannot redefine repentance and change its meaning like so many have done. There are some pastors and there are some evangelists that will never preach on this because it's not popular. There are those that will deny it because it demands action in our life and it demands something to be done by us. And it's a shame that sometimes we're more interested in what the world can give us, more interested in the popularity of the world, more interested in making things look right and sound right in a message and trying to build a message and forgetting about what really is important. It's a shame when we get involved in that aspect of the ministry and do not proclaim the truth of the Word of God. The denial of biblical repentance is to really deny the whole Scripture. It is to deny the Word of God. It's to deny the message that God has given to us. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 1 through 3 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that is spoken of by Isaiah saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, the straight path can only be found in repentance. It can only be found when we come to the point of turning from wickedness and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. So to deny repentance is to deny the preaching and the message of John the Baptist. It's to deny really the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he talks about in Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, says, "When Jesus heard, he said to them, 'They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance.'" And so the message of the Lord is to call sinners to repentance and a turning unto the Lord. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So these verses this morning lay the foundation of what we believe as Christians that brings us into a relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes repentance and faith, and if you separate them, you have no salvation. You cannot be saved without faith, and you cannot be saved without repentance. And so it's a very important doctrine, because the very foundation of our going to heaven depends upon these two things. The message of the Bible is given that Acts chapter 17 says, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere," what? "To repent." And so He has commanded every person everywhere to repent and turn unto Him. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord taught taught Solomon through His Word. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face," and then it says, "and turn from their wicked ways." You know what that is? That is repentance. So it's an Old Testament doctrine that God told the Jew, if you're going to be right with God, if you're going to have the blessings of the Lord, "my people, which are called by my name," Old Testament, that's the Jew, if they were going to humble themselves, if they would pray, if they would seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, then He says, "I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." That is spoken from a Jewish standpoint, a Jewish perspective, that if the Jew wanted the blessing of God, they had to turn from their wickedness. We can apply that to 2013. If we want the blessings of God, then we must turn from our wickedness. We must turn from those things that keep us away from God and separate us from the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if we want the blessings of God, if we that are called by His name, if we have this, then He says, "I'll hear from heaven, and I'll forgive your sin, and I'll heal your land." Really and truly, you've heard it many, many times, it comes down to three words: repent or perish. That's what it is. If we repent, we die, we go to heaven. If we reject and turn our back upon God, we die, we go to hell. There's no in-between ground. There's nothing that will separate us other than the death that comes. And when we die, we'll go to the place that has been prepared for either the one that repents or the one that does not repent. This is a biblical doctrine that I believe we should not belittle or tear down or certainly refuse to preach upon. Biblical repentance is a gift that is granted from the Lord. Salvation is a gift of God. We know that. We're saved by the grace of God. It is a gift lest any man should boast. We're not going to work for it. We're not going to, in order to go to heaven, we're not going to struggle for it. We're not going to strive for it. Salvation is a gift that God presents to us. And in that gift is this doctrine of repentance. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse number 31, "Him hath God exalted with His right hand to the Prince and a Savior for to give repentance to Israel, the forgiveness of sins." Now, here we find that repentance was given to Israel. Now, to the Gentile, the Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." And so in this thing of salvation, it is a gift of God that we have been given the energy and given the spirituality that we can turn from our wicked ways and turn from sin and turn unto God. There's a lot of definitions of this thing of repentance. There's a lot of ways men have tried to describe it. And I believe Paul, in his writing, tells us that people, when they heard the gospel, they turned from their idols and they turned unto God. That is a complete turnaround in your mind, in your will, in your thinking, in your expression. Everything about you turns from wickedness, turns from the world, and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad it is a gift from God. Somebody says, well, you make repentance a work that you have to do in order to be saved. No, it's not a work, it's a gift. It's not something we can work up. We don't work it up. We are given the understanding that we must be forgiven of our sins and in faith and believing and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have life eternal, that we can be born again. And it's either we'll either do it God's way or we'll not have salvation. We'll do it the way the Lord said or it'll not be done. Now, men say, well, I don't want to think that. I don't want to believe that. It doesn't matter. I heard someone say today, doesn't matter if we believe or not, it still doesn't change God's ways. It doesn't change God's mind. It doesn't change God's Word. Just because we don't believe it doesn't make it untrue or doesn't make it true. And we find here that repentance is an action that every one of us have to have in our life. And we exercise that when we come to God in faith believing. Repentance and faith toward God. They're biblical twins. You cannot separate the two. So repentance is a gift that is granted to us by the Lord. Repentance is an acknowledgement of the truth. It is us agreeing with God. All of a sudden, we are in agreement with the Lord that, yes, I am a sinner. That, yes, I am wicked. Yes, I need God. Yes, the Word of God is true. And the Bible says that we must have that understanding that Jesus died for us and has given us the truth whereby we can be saved. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 25. It says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, if God would offer and give to them the understanding of what truth is, the only way we're going to ever go to heaven is know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And John says you set in free indeed. And so we have liberty through Jesus Christ. We have life through Him and our coming to the Lord and accepting Him and trusting Him. So many times people want to be saved, but they don't want to have any different parts of their life. Well, I'm telling you this morning, if you get saved, your life's going to change. If your life doesn't change, then there's something wrong with what you call salvation. It's an immediate change. There's an action that takes place in our lives that immediately there's a change that takes place, that we know there are some things that are different. We know that there are same things that are wrong. And we immediately change that. I've heard people say, as soon as they got saved, they began to be convicted about certain things in their life that didn't used to bother them. You know what that is? That's the change. That's the work of the Holy Spirit that teaches and trains us. We don't have to tell somebody to tell us all the things that are right and wrong. The Holy Spirit lives within us. He'll tell us what's right and wrong. He'll give us instruction. He'll give us ways. He'll give us the path. And so we come to Him and we have been understanding. And He gives us repentance to the acknowledging of truth. We say, all of a sudden we agree with God. I'm wicked. When it used to make you upset when somebody said you was wicked. But you begin to agree with the Lord and do what He says and the actions that He gives to us, and we have the acknowledging of truth. We have belief and trust of things that are given to us in the Word of God that we used to say, no way would I do that. I've had people say, well, I'm not going to be a Christian because I want to go out and have a little bit of fun. Well, I'll tell you what, you can have fun being Christian. But see, this thing of the world, the thing of wickedness, comes upon us, and the devil will use all the things of life to keep us bound down. But the Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Here in our text verse this morning, in these five verses, there's two incidences that the Lord uses as an illustration. There are those Galileans who had their sacrifices mingled with their blood, and of course, that was very wicked and very wrong. And Jesus said, I guess you suppose they're worse sinners than you. He said, nay. Means no. He said, except you all repent, you shall likewise perish. Just as they perish, you shall perish. And then he uses the illustration of the tower that fell in Siloam and killed those folks. And Jesus said, I guess you suppose those that died were far worse sinners than you. He said, nay. Unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so perishing is not determined by how we live. Perishing is determined by what we believe and trust and accept as far as God's given to us acknowledgement of the truth. We come to agree with God on everything about our life. We come to understand that without Him, we're going to go to hell. Without Him, we're going to die without the Lord. Without Him, we're not going to have eternal life with Him. Without Him, there's nothing and there's no way. Now, the devil has counterfeited a lot of things. He'll say, well, you don't need repentance, you just need church membership. No, you need repentance. The devil will say, well, if you just get baptized, you'll be all right. No, you need repentance, faith toward God. Well, if I just do good, no, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those words ought to echo in our mind when we consider, and really and truly, there's not a thing wrong with us examining our lives. The Bible says we are to examine. There's not a thing wrong with going back and rehearsing what we did or did not do. And we need to understand that salvation is not dependent upon how long we've been in church, not dependent upon what all we do, not dependent upon how much we give or go or whatever is involved. Salvation is dependent upon what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He says that we must have faith and repent of our sins and turn to Him. Biblical repentance is shown in godly sorrow. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance, now what does it say? To salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And so it says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. We have a sorrow in our heart. And I'll tell you, sometimes when folks, when I watch some of the TV evangelists, I don't see any repentance at all. I mean, they're popping down the aisles. They're having fun, games, good times, and they go bow their head and say a little prayer, and they think they're all right. And they go out and live just like they do before that day. That is not salvation. Salvation is a change. It's a godly sorrow. We come into an understanding of what I just said, an acknowledgement of the truth, that we are wicked, we are undone, we are ungodly. And without Him, we have nothing. And I'll tell you what, when we come to face a holy and a righteous God, we don't have anything to offer. We don't have any good things to say, look what I've done or look what I've accomplished. We don't have that. All we can do is come with a godly sorrow and turning to God from our sin and accepting Him as our personal Savior. I've heard people say, well, I've always been a Christian. I beg to differ. I've always been a child of God. No. The Bible says we were children of disobedience. The Bible says we were children of wrath. The Bible says we were children of the wicked. Well, I've always had... No. We have been sinners. And we were without God. And we were without hope. Oh, but thank God, according to Ephesians chapter 2, He hath quickened us. He's made us alive. He's given us life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that understanding of who we are and what we are and a repentant heart Sometimes it's very difficult anymore to find someone that has a godly sorrow for what's going on in their life. Well, I don't want to be a Christian. Because I have to give that up. With that attitude, you won't be a Christian. Salvation is coming to the point that without Him, I have nothing. Without Him, I am nothing. Without Him, I'll never be anything. And we come to acknowledge Him as our Lord and our Savior. And we come, and the Bible says we have a godly sorrow that worketh toward repentance. Repentance is an action of the heart and the mind as God deals with us and helps us to understand what we are in our life. Dead in sins, trespasses. Repentance is for a better understanding. Repentance is a change of mind that brings about a change of heart, that brings about a change of life. Repentance changes everything in you. Now, it's not just a change mentally, but it's godly sorrow that brings salvation. It's a change of our mind that brings about a change in our heart. And all of a sudden we realize that we are in a terrible condition. When I got saved that night, I realized if I died the way I were, I'd go to hell. And God worked in my heart, and I turned to Him. It brings about a change of heart. And I'll tell you what, a change of heart will bring about a change of life. Now, don't get me wrong, not everything changes overnight. There's a process that we call growing in the grace of God. Paul talked about it as being babes in Christ. He talks about growing up into adulthood. Paul uses a phrase that says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child and I did childish things. But now I've put away childish things," because what has happened? He's grown up to maturity and spiritually speaking. Now, there are things that little babies do that adults ought not to do. I said ought not. There are things that little children do that is expected of them to do. Well, it'd shock us if Justin's a little boy back there, if he sat down at the table and was ready to eat a steak, and he may eat steak, I don't know. It'd shock us if he sat down there and said, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I want my potato and I want my steak. I want my potato. I want it all." No. He's just a baby. Has to be cared for. Has to have his food prepared. Has to have things given to him. He's a baby. And Paul said there's a time when we were babes in Christ. But he also said to the church of Corinth, he said, there's a problem here because you should have grown up. And he said, I ought to be able to give you the meat of the Word of God. He said, but I have to revert back and give you the milk of the Word. And Paul, he condemned those folks for not growing in the grace of the Lord. Repentance brings a change of life. We are no longer what we used to be. Thank God. We're not what we ought to be. We're not what we shall be. But the grace of the Lord and the turning unto God, a change of our heart and a change of our life is a proof of what the Lord has done on the inside. So biblical repentance is a change of mind that changes our heart. And our heart life changes our outside life. So many times we try to clean up the outside of a man's life before we change the inside. And if we don't change the inside, you can change the outside all you want to. And you know what will happen? It'll revert back just to what it was. Oh, it may take a while, but it'll revert back. How many times we've seen folks, they start well, they start good, and all of a sudden they're doing the same old thing. Something's wrong. Something's wrong because when you get saved, when there's repentance in your life, then there's a change in your life. Behold, all things become new unto us. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, Paul says, I do not repent. He said, I'm not changing my mind on it. He's writing to the Corinthian church. He says, though I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to, what? Repentance. You see, this book here is not all fun and games. It's not all happy times. This book will bring us sometimes sorrow in our heart when we realize we're not living to the standard that God has for us. When we're not doing what God wants us to do, when we're not expressing the things that God wants us to express, and we're just not living right. And Paul said, I realized that this sorrow brought you to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Paul said, I didn't want to damage you. He said, I wanted to help you. Sometimes when this old book is preached, I've sat under some preachers, I think, what will they ever get done? Not that I was bored. No, the Lord is working on my heart, and I want to get out of there. Well, we've all been there. You're smiling, shaking your head, you understand. This book will bring us to a godly sorrow. It will bring us to a repentant heart. And I've said time and time again, repentance brings salvation, but that is not where repentance stops. We as believers, we repent every day. We turn to God every day. We are sorry every day that we cannot live to the expectation that sometimes we have for ourselves. And the devil will throw things in front of us and we'll falter and we'll fail and we'll turn to God and thank the Lord He's there. We can repent and get relationship, fellowship restored. Paul said, I didn't rejoice that I made you sorry or sad. He said, but you sorrowed to repentance because you sorrowed after a godly manner, this book. And so when we come to know God, it brings us to a change of life. It changes our heart. It changes a way. We're walking one direction. All of a sudden we're walking another direction. We're going to hell. We're headed to hell as fast as we can go without Him. We're dead in sins and trespasses. And unless we, in our own mental capacity, can understand what God has done for us, and we turn our direction to Him and repent of our sin, turn to the Lord, and in faith believing, praise the Lord, He makes a change in our life. So I've never done that. You need to check what the book says. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so he tells this church of Corinth, and that church had a lot of problems. They were considered a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were letting a lot of things go on that should not be going on. And Paul cut them right where it was, and he told them what was wrong, and he brought sorrow to their heart and their life. But it's a godly sorrow. It was a sorrow that brought about actions that changed their life. And you and I, when we come to meet the Lord, it changes our life. Praise the Lord. We're not what we used to be. He changes us. He makes us a new creature in Christ, a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. When we get born again, when we get saved, everything before us is fresh and new. And I'm glad, thank God, I can go to Him every day. And He'll forgive me my sins now as I turn to Him. It is the foundation of our faith. Repentance. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection or full-grown adult. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. Don't have to do that again. But we is our foundation. It's the foundation we build upon. In Jesus Christ, there's no other foundation except Him. And we have Him in our life to believe and to trust and to acknowledge. It is the will of God for men to believe. Paul says the Lord is not slack, or Peter says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count it. He says He's not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. We first use the words, if you don't repent, you perish. Peter says, he says, not willing that you perish, but that all come to repentance. the person's not saved, it is the desire of the Lord that you be saved. Not willing that any would perish. Who are those that perish? Those that do not repent. Those that do not accept. Those that do not believe. And Peter said, he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. So whether we're in this building or out in the world or in another place, wherever we are, he's not willing that folks die without him. Jesus died that we might live. It's the work of the Lord that brings us to a knowledge, we call it a saving knowledge, of Jesus Christ. Repentance is the call of the Spirit. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us to an understanding that we need God. There's not a one of us in here this morning that would ever come to understand that we needed something or we needed God if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works on our heart. The Holy Spirit sort of goes in the background, and what is heard and what is said that is true, the Holy Spirit will energize in your mind and He'll say, that's true. He'll give you impressions in your life of what that preacher is saying is right. He'll maybe preach behind the preacher. And he'll just sort of amen what is being said in your heart. And he will tell you that what you're hearing is right. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. God sent His Son. His Son died. And now the Son is presented to the world by the preaching of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, there would be no salvation. Without the pull and the tug of the blessed Holy Spirit, you would never come to God. I would have never come to the Lord unless He knocked on my heart's door one day and said, you need God. You need the Lord. You need what that preacher is talking about. I was raised in church. I was in church every service. I mean, we just did not miss. When everybody else was there, wasn't there, we were there. That was just part of life. And I heard the gospel time and time and time again. And I'm so glad this morning that I can say that as a young boy, I got saved. And it's because one day the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart. Did I get saved the first time I heard it? No. Did I get saved the first time I understood it? No. I can remember saying to myself, I'm not saved. I can remember saying to my heart and in my own mind, just you know how you think to yourself, I need what that preacher's preaching about. We had a revival a couple of weeks before I got saved. And we had a good revival. Had a lot of people saved. And every time somebody got up there and said they'd gotten saved, I believe that though we had meetings then. I think it was about a 2-week meeting. Now we can't get folks for a 2-day meeting. We had about 2 weeks, and people got, I think they baptized 16 out of that meeting. My uncle was one of them that got saved. And every time someone would come up, and here I'm 8 years old, and every time someone would come up and they'd get saved, something would nudge my heart and say, you need to do that. And, somebody said, it's just a kid thinking. Well, I thought it for a while. I don't want to do what everybody else is doing just because they're doing it, because somebody says it's not real. The revival's over 2 or 3 weeks down the road. Now, every service, it would bother me. And I knew I wasn't saved. How'd you know? Well, you know by the wooing of the Holy Spirit. You know by the preaching of the Word of God. You know by what the Scripture tells you. I knew I was not saved. Oh, I was a Sunday school kid and I did all the things everybody else, but I wasn't saved. And one Sunday night, the preacher started preaching and I didn't like what he was saying because I knew I didn't have it. So I laid my head down in my mom's lap. And I acted like I was asleep. But I was far from being asleep. I heard everything that preacher said. I heard every message, everything he said that night. And so when time was ready for invitation, Mom shook me. She said, "Stand up." Well, I didn't want to stand up. And after about the first verse of the song went through, I know the song. And the first verse was sung, and I was standing there, and I said, "I'm not going up." Got to the second verse of the song, and that second verse says, "Tomorrow's sun may never rise." And the question is asked in the chorus, "Oh, why not tonight?" And when they got into that second verse, I knew that I had to be saved. Because I felt as if I died, I'd have gone to hell. And you know what I believe? Now, I know some people say, "Oh, this is cruel." No, this is true. When a person comes to understand and they say no, if they die, if you're 8 years old or 28 or 48, if you die knowing you need to be saved and not saved, you go to hell. "You mean God would do that?" No, we do that. For the Holy Spirit of God illuminated my mind and my heart. He gave me understanding. And it was an understanding, the call of the Holy Spirit. "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Biblical repentance is the only way to God. As I said a while ago, the way to God is not membership or doing good or baptism. That's not the way to God. The way to God is what Luke tells us in our text verse, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The lack of biblical repentance has produced a sinfulness with no godly sorrow. Everybody lives the way they want to live and they don't care. You can't tell me how to live. That's the result of not preaching truth. I'll do what I want to do and I'll go where I want to go. I'll listen to what I want to listen to. I'll live the way I want to live. That's the end result of not accepting truth. The lack of biblical repentance and the preaching of it has brought salvation with no conversion, with no change. And salvation with no change is no salvation. The lack of preaching biblical repentance has produced, quote unquote, a saint, but he has no heart for God. He wants to do what he desires. His will is more important than anybody else's. What I want to do is more important than anything else. And this morning we have churches filled with people that have no desire for the things of God. They are there because it makes them feel a little... they're doing God a service. It makes them feel better. Going to church sometimes don't make you feel better. Somebody said, "Well, I think church ought to be comfortable for everybody." I think it ought to be very uncomfortable for the sinner. It ought to be a place where they know you need God. Church ought to be a place where they hear the truth, how to get saved. And when they hear that, they become uncomfortable until they acknowledge the truth. And that's the salvation that God gives to us. Jesus said, "You think they're worse sinners than you? Nay. There's no difference in any of us. Every person in this building this morning, we're no different. Except we repent, we shall all likewise perish. Just like the Galileans, just like those that the tower fell upon, just like any of the tragedies we hear today. Well, we hear them every day, don't we? Tragedies. Multitudes being killed. Swept out of this world. And do you think they're worse than we are? No. Jesus said, except you repent, we'll all perish. May God help us to make sure to know that we know that we're saved. Let's stand together this morning.